How much does Christmas cost? Money Talk News estimates that we spend an average of $967 per person on Christmas presents. That's a huge chunk of money if you figure a large family. I read that Americans spend $2,372,000 every minute of every day in December on Christmas gifts. That's $2,372,000 every minute of every day. I'm sure that statistics vary widely, and no one knows for sure how much Christmas costs us. But of this we can be sure, it costs way too much. Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. It's one of the great Christmas stories. It's a portrayal of a rich miser named Scrooge who's transformed one Christmas Eve by visions of Christmas past, present, and future. Scrooge is a wonderfully changed man. He goes from being a mean, selfish, lonely, unhappy person and transformed into a generous, loving, joyous man. It's a redemption story. Scrooge's redemption ends up costing him a great deal of money. He bought a large goose for the Cratchit family. He gave raises to his employees. He gave generously to charity. He paid for Tiny Tim's medical treatments, which saved his life. Christmas cost him a great deal of money that year. But you can't miss the joy that his giving gave him. His generosity and love changed his life forever. The same happens to us when we give generously. Joy is the gift we get in return. My brother, Ted, used to joke every Christmas. He'd say, "I don't think I made expenses this year." In other words, he didn't get back as much as he spent. He was just joking, though. My brother Ted was a very generous Christian man, and his life was greatly blessed because of his generosity. How much does Christmas cost us? I don't want to focus on money this morning. I want to focus this morning on the deeper costs that we'll incur when Jesus comes to us. Look with me at our gospel scripture. We always have to deal with John the Baptist before we get to Christmas. And John, in our scripture, starts out his sermon by blasting his fellow Jews. "You brood of vipers," he calls them. Not a good way to start a sermon. Very often a preacher will tell a joke to kind of soften up the audience and get their attention. But not John. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." John is calling the Jewish people and all of us who read these words to repent. We must change our ways, or we won't be ready for the coming of the Messiah. He tells the Jews that it isn't enough to be the descendants of Abraham. They were proud that they were the children of Abraham, children of the covenant. But John warns them that's not enough. God's judgment is coming. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. The multitudes who heard John were shocked. This isn't what they expected. So they cried out with one voice, "What must we do? What must we do to avoid the wrath of God? Or how much is the incarnation going to cost us?" That's what I want to focus on this morning. What will the coming of Jesus cost us? Now, John gave the people very specific things that they should do. If you have two tunics, give one to someone who has no tunics. If you have food, share it with those who don't. To the tax collectors, he said, don't collect any more than you're required to. And to the soldiers, he said, don't extort money. Be content with your pay. Please notice, these instructions are not hard to do. It's not hard to share some of our possessions, or not to cheat people, or not to bully people. That's not too much to ask. Also notice that John is preaching to the crowds. This isn't like the much more costly teachings that Jesus gives his disciples. These are beginning steps, baby steps, toward the kingdom of God. John demands that the crowds turn around. That's what repentance means. And move in a different direction. That they are to take some small steps toward God. And here's the good news of this scripture. If you want to be ready for the coming of the Messiah, for the advent of God in your life, the cost is not too high. That's something to be glad. The cost is not too high. The bar is not raised above our reach. What we need to do are small acts of kindness and compassion. We need to start moving in the right direction. Even small steps of generosity and goodness will prepare us for the coming of the Lord into our lives. With our small steps of repentance and change, we show God that we believe in Him. We are moving toward God. We are headed in the right direction. We are here this morning doing our best to praise God and to make God the center of our lives. Now, some of us may not have a great amount of biblical knowledge. We all have rough edges in our lives that God needs to smooth out. But we're here, and we're on the way. Thank God that He takes us as we are. And then He does His amazing miracle of transformation in our lives to help us become the kind of women and men that He wants us to be. The change in our lives may not be as dramatic and quick as it was with Ebenezer Scrooge, but it will be just as wonderful over the course of a lifetime of walking with our Lord. Now, there are some Sundays when we are asked to perform great heroic sacrificial tasks that show that we're following our Lord Jesus Christ. But this Sunday, God, through John the Baptist, is asking us just to take small steps in the right direction. Our small acts of kindness, our generous gifts to others, our compassion to those who have so little, our volunteering at a shelter, or our gifts to needy strangers around the globe, they all move us in the right direction. We are moving toward God. And when we move just a little toward God, He moves toward us. We know that after Christmas, the baby Jesus grows up and enters His ministry. And Jesus moves purposely, relentlessly toward the cross. We know that it cost our Lord dearly to come to us. No cost we bear in coming to God can compare with what it cost Jesus to come to us. But this Sunday before Christmas, God is asking us to make some small turnings toward God. It doesn't really cost us too much. But when we make those small changes of repentance, God's love and power come flowing into our lives. Our small gifts to God of obedience and repentance result in the greatest gift we will ever receive, the gift of God's love in Jesus Christ. Please join me in prayer. Please show us, Lord, how we need to change. Our selfishness pervades our lives. We are so comfortable and so caught up in our ways. Please show us how we need to change, how we need to repent, to turn away from the things of this world and to turn toward You. And give us the power to do that, Lord. Even if they're small changes, help us to make those small changes in the right direction and trust that You will bless us in wonderful ways. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.